Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, and this is our Friday broadcast. And Friday is one of my favorite days of the week because it is one day closer to Sunday. And so on the Friday broadcast, I always like to remind you to be in God's house worshiping on the Lord's Day on Sunday. And if you're not able to make it, of course, many churches now are doing services online. We are doing a service on Facebook Live. But if you'd like to come to worship with us on Sunday, we do a 9 o'clock drive-in church. We do a 10:30 in the sanctuary worship. So love to have you come. We are at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. I always tell people when you're going down South Battlefield Boulevard, we are the last church before you get into North Carolina. So we'd love to see you at 9 o'clock or 10:30 on Sunday. And on this Friday broadcast, if you come this Sunday, John Cash will be speaking at both of our services. And if you're from the Hampton Roads area, you know that John Cash at one time was a meteorologist here in the Hampton Roads area. And if you'd like to see him, hear him, we'd love to have you come this Sunday to worship with us. We are in the middle also of doing an opportunity that has been placed before us. And you know, there's so many opportunities to get the gospel outside of our region. And so one of the things we do as a church is we support missionaries, we support pastors throughout the world. And one of the pastors that we support is a guy by the name of Pastor Friday. Pastor Friday Nunn is a pastor in Nigeria, an amazing man. He and his wife, Precious, are doing a tremendous job. And maybe the next time I get him in town here, I'll have him come and do a broadcast with me. But Pastor Friday is building a church in Nigeria. This is not the first church that he has built. He has built several over there, but they have an opportunity to raise a church building up for the cost of $23,000. So we have taken the challenge to raise this money. In addition to the raising this money, John Cash has agreed to match dollar for dollar up to half of that cost. And so if we can raise $11,500 for this church, John Cash will match it and we'll be able to have a church building in Nigeria. Now, I have had some friends that have been over there, and I want you to know that Pastor Friday, he is the real deal, okay? So when you give to him, our church is blessed in that we are kind of the clearinghouse for his ministry. So if you'd like to support Pastor Friday, you can do that through our church. You just acknowledge it on the memo line that the gift that you're giving is for Pastor Friday, and everything that comes in will go for his ministry. So I hope that you come and join us and be part of it. Well, we're doing a series on big faith, and I was going to call this series Living Large, but I didn't want you to get the wrong idea. You know, as you think about big faith always starts small. It starts with a grain of a mustard seed, and your faith journey actually began at your salvation. Even the ability to be saved was a gift of faith that God gave you. And the Holy Spirit drew you into a relationship with Christ, and it is by faith you accepted this free gift of salvation. But not only is salvation a gift that is given to you, but that faith is also a gift that is given to you. And I'm so thankful that God has given us the faith in which we can trust in Him, and not only the faith to trust in Him, but the faith to live our lives every single day. Now, you know, when a baby is born, a baby comes into this world, and the baby has everything that he needs to grow. You know, a baby at age one, for example, doesn't grow a foot. He has a foot when he's born. He doesn't grow new appendages as he gets older. Those facts of his life just continue to grow. That is the same with faith. We don't get an additional, like, leg of faith as we walk with Christ. Our faith grows. So Jesus says, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, fall into sea, and it'll be done. So little faith begins with salvation. We call that saving faith. Jesus even likens it to the faith of a child. And that innocent faith of a child is what it takes to be saved. But then that faith grows in our lives. I want to begin today by giving an illustration that was given in a book that I read not long ago. And I can't remember the name of the book, but it's a story about an atheist and a little boy in his neighborhood. They were talking one day about God and church and faith, and finally that old atheist neighbor said to the little boy, "Son, I don't see how there could be a God in this world. With all the problems that we have, I will give you an apple if you can prove to me that God exists." Well, the little boy grinned and he said, "Well, sir, I do believe in God, and I will give you two apples if you can prove that he doesn't exist." You see, we believe in most in what we're willing to give. And I want you to understand this whole concept of giving. And so I'm going to read kind of a more lengthy passage of scripture. I hope that you will indulge me as we go through and read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. Paul is writing and he says, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. Now, Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthian believers. This is the second letter that he's writing to them. And in writing to them, he's telling them that I'm going to come to visit you. And as I come to visit you, I want to be gathering that collection of money that you told me you're going to give. Paul says in verse number 2, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to you in the churches of Macedonia and into Greece, and they are ready to send an offering, and they were ready to do it a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. So as you see what is happening here, Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, you're wanting to give to the saints at Jerusalem and they need this offering, and your enthusiasm has stirred up other churches and they are jumping on board here and they are also giving toward this endeavor. You know, sometimes that happens. You know, enthusiasm is very contagious. I remember one time in the beginning years of our church, we were trying to raise money for a church van, and we were just a small, about 40 people in our congregation at that time. And I remember we wanted to take some kids, and we wanted to send them to youth camp. And so I said, guys, we need $10,000. And one Sunday morning, I got up, and I said, now listen, guys, we need $10,000 this Sunday to buy a van for these kids. And I remember I said, I'll give the first $500. And I pointed over to one of the men in our church, and his name was Jack. And I said, well, Jack's going to give the second $500. And I said, who else is going to give? You know, by the end of that service, everybody had committed to give, and we actually exceeded the $10,000 to buy this van. What happened? That enthusiasm caught fire, and other people wanted to have a part of giving toward that van. Well, Paul is experiencing the same thing here with the believers at the Church of Macedonia and the Greek believers. Verse number 3, Paul says, but I'm sending you these brothers to be sure that you are ready to give. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm sending somebody ahead of me just to make sure you have this offering ready. And as I'm telling them that your money is already going to be collected, I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. And so Paul says, don't embarrass me. I don't want to embarrass you. I've been boasting about you. And so I'm just hoping and praying that this offering really is there. So he continues on. He says, we would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if the Macedonian believers came with me and they found that you weren't ready after I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure that the gift that you promised is ready. But I want that to be a willing gift, not one giving grudgingly. Remember this. A farmer, when he goes out to plant a few seeds, will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will receive a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And I don't want you to give reluctantly in response to pressure, because God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will give generously and provide for all of your needs. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and they give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who promised and provides the seed for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. First of all, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So Paul's saying there's two benefits of giving here to this particular offering, and the needs are being met. The Jerusalem believers are struggling with poverty, and their needs are going to be met, but also as a result of this giving, we're going to see that they will joyfully express and give thanks to God. In other words, God is going to be glorified as we give. As a result of your ministry, Paul continues, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all of the believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank you, God, for this gift two wonderful four words. Well, what a powerful, powerful teaching on giving by the Apostle Paul. Paul is reminding them that as we give, we're actually spreading the light of God's love. You know, sundials demonstrate a profound spiritual truth. Shadows will always reveal the presence of light. You see, the way you get through the valley of the shadows without fear is to turn your back to the shadows and turn to the light. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. We're told in Isaiah 50, verse number 10, if you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on God. In other words, the solution for darkness is the light of God. And how is that light best spread? Through believers. Through us being generous. So you may be listening to this broadcast and says, I would like to be a more generous giver, but I don't have a whole lot to give. Well, here's the first thing I want to say about giving. When you have a need, plant a seed. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, whoever sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and whoever gives generously shall also reap generously. And so here we have two farmers, and they're both in debt. They both have a sack of seed, and so one farmer says, well, this is all I've got. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to spread it because it's all I've got, and once it's gone, it's gone. You know, he's never going to get out of debt. The other farmer, however, says, here's a sack of seed. I'm going to spread it out. The only way I'm going to get out of debt is to give what I've got and give it away. That is the principle. You see, man's way is borrow, work more, beg or steal. But God's ways are not our ways. God's ways is you get what you need by giving to others, and then God will give to you. You know, there's a homeless woman that demonstrates this kind of generosity. In the book, God So Loved the World That He Gave, Justin Berger shares a story about a homeless woman who lived under a bridge in Tennessee. After providing Sammy with some basic hygiene supplies, he didn't hear from her for several weeks until she called and said that she had been raped. After he brought her to the hospital, Tammy started attending his church. The church also started providing vouchers so that she could buy food and other items. But the pastor noticed that this created a problem. Tammy kept giving the vouchers to other people. Tammy, you need to keep this for yourself, the pastor said, otherwise you're going to run out of food. But living under that bridge meant living with other needy people, she said. In her mind, it was unthinkable for her to receive a gift and then not share it with others. So with this incredulous stare, she asked the pastor, why can't I give some too? The pastor writes, well, I find myself taking back. Why shouldn't Tammy be allowed to give some of what she received? Wasn't that exactly what I was doing? I paused for just a moment, but then I gave her a very pragmatic answer. We're giving this to you, not to everyone else you meet. Yet I recognize the deeper problem. You see, to only receive it and never give back is to be humiliated. Over time, I began to think of Tammy as a kind of pet project in which I was always the giver and she was always the recipient. But the good news is that God not only made us to be recipients of His grace, but God also expects us to be participants in the movement of His generosity. So the first point that we must understand when it comes to this matter of generosity, that we must give to what we need. When you have a need, plant a seed. Here's the second thing, is that we are to give with the right attitude. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that each one of you must make up your own mind as to how much you should give, not doing it with reluctance or in response to pressure. Why? Because God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Why does He love a cheerful person? Because God has a heart of a giver. He wants your heart. You see, your heart represents your money. You see, most of us will spend all of our lives thinking about money, planning about money, saving money, spending money, worrying about money, investing money, and using money. God says it's such a major part of our lives that He wants us to give back to Him. God wants your heart, not your money. He doesn't need your money, but He wants your heart. That's because it represents the fact that money is symbolic of your heart. You see, Jesus Himself says, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Denzel Washington is a man of great faith, and he's a two-time Academy Award-winning actor. He's best known for his roles in Glory, The Preacher's Wife, Remember the Titans, and Training Day. But the Hollywood actor is often sounding more like a preacher than an actor, and many times he has spoken at public events. One time he publicly stated that he reads his Bible every day and that he strives to constantly get up and speak of what God has done for him. At a November 2015 church banquet, he urged his listeners to live in a constant attitude of gratitude for God's goodness. He said, "Give thanks for the blessings that you have every day. Yes, every day. Embrace gratitude. Encourage others. It is impossible to be grateful and to be hateful at the same time. I pray that you put your slippers under your bed at night so that when you wake up in the morning, you have to start your days on your knees to find them. And while you're down there, say a thank you. Because a bad attitude is like a flat tire. Until you change it, you're not going to go anywhere." You see, Denzel Washington is not also a man of great gratitude, but he once paid for Chadwick Boseman's tuition. And as you know, he recently just passed away of cancer, but it was Denzel Washington who made sure that he had the money so that he could go to Howard University. As a matter of fact, Chadwick Boseman, also a strong believer in a speech, referenced several Bible references, including Jeremiah 29:11. I use these two men as examples of generosity, men who are willing to give every day and start every day with thanks. You may be listening to the broadcast today and says, "Man, this is great. I want to give with the right attitude, and I want to be able to give what I need to receive. I want to plant a seed, but I'm not sure how to go about this." Well, here are some very practical steps for you to learn to create this habit of giving. First of all, as we're to give, Paul tells us that we're to give thoughtfully. That is, that we're to make up our own mind as to what we're going to give. Now, as you think about giving thoughtfully and prayerfully, I think we should sit down and we should look at the affairs of where we are financially. You know, God never expects us to give something that we do not have. And so we sit down and we thoughtfully think about what we can give, and we prayerfully think, because Paul says that we're to make up our own mind. It was Winston Churchill who said this about the fact of giving. He says that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. So I want you to understand that you should thoughtfully give. And the reason we spend a lot of time thinking about what we should give is because we want to make sure that as we're giving, that our giving is to a good cause. That's why I'm such a strong supporter of giving to your local church. You know, as you think about your local church, you can know what's happening in your local church. You see where your tithes and your offerings are going. You see the staff at the church. You see the work that the church is doing. You see the building that you gather in for worship. And, you know, most people have no idea what it costs to run a church, right? Most people look at a church and say, "Well, they probably have the same expenses that I have around my house." And I want you to know that that just is not the case. And most churches have a fairly substantial mortgage. And even simple things, like I tell people, simple things like the electric bill, you know, just to turn on our lights and heat and cool the facilities that we have is about $2,500 a month. And you have a commercial rate and you have a lot of buildings, a lot of square footage to heat and cool. So it takes a lot of money to run a church. So we're to give thoughtfully, but also we're to give enthusiastically, not reluctantly, says Paul. You know, John Bunyan, who many years ago went on to be with the Lord, he wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress, said this: "You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you." And as we do this, we should do this not reluctantly, but with enthusiasm. And I think about character, and I think about how we should be men and women of character. Somebody told me one time that character can be defined as this: it is how we treat the people in our lives that we do not need. You know, there's some people you're going to come across in life and you don't need them. You know, you may be happy to have them in your life, but you don't really need them. I think about somebody who might need help on the side of the road. Maybe you're driving down the road and you see somebody that has a need and you don't need them, but they need you. And so reach out to them enthusiastically to help them. We're also told that we're to give voluntarily. So we give thoughtfully, enthusiastically, voluntarily. And this is not in response to pressure. You know, some people say, "I feel pressure just listening to you talk about this." And you see, that's really your problem, not my problem. I'm not pressuring you. That might be an internal problem that you're dealing with. But as you think about not giving in response to pressure, you know, I think about a high-pressured salesman. I say, you got to buy this car right now. And if you don't, it won't be available tomorrow. But you know, tomorrow there's always going to be another car that's available. So don't give into that pressure. If it's a good deal today, it's also going to be a good deal tomorrow. So don't feel pressured to give. Don't feel pressured to buy. We're also told that we're to give cheerfully. God loves the person who gives cheerfully. You know, the Bible doesn't say give until it hurts. The Bible says give until it feels good. Give cheerfully. Kind of reminds me of an article I read about a Brazilian man who became the victim of pathological generosity. In September 2013, there was a man in Brazil who developed what doctors called pathological generosity. In an article that was published by the journal Neuroscience, doctors described this very strange case of a 49-year-old man described as Mr. A, who had a remarkable personality change after suffering a stroke. His physician said that after the stroke affected the subcortical regions of this man's brain, he suddenly had this excessive and persistent urge to help others. He wouldn't stop giving money and gifts to people he barely knew. According to his wife, he would buy candy and soda and food for the kids that he would meet on the side of the street. He was also one who quit his job as a manager of a large corporation. Dr. Larry Goldstein says that although the observation of his personality change is not that unusual, this particular one is apparently novel. When asked by researchers if he wanted to return to his job, Mr. A claimed that he saw death from close up and he wanted to be in high spirits for the rest of his life. And so Mr. A was put on a medication for depression, which he said cured his depression, but his pathological generosity remained unchanged. And I don't know about you, but I know some people that could benefit from this pathological generosity. You know, I think that giving is a muscle, and the more we use it, the more we want to give. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we're to give cheerfully, but we're also to give consistently. We're told in 1 Corinthians that on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we're to set aside some money that we have earned during the week, and then we're to give it in the offering, 1 Corinthians 16:2. So when you think about giving cheerfully, how in the world can I give cheerfully? Well, remember that all comes from God. God has given us everything. God gives the seed to the farmer and the food to those who eat. God will also give you seed and multiply it. Also, remember that God actually guarantees he's going to take care of us. He has promised us that he will take care of all of our needs. God has given us this guarantee. God says you can choose how to live your life and you can choose how much I'm going to bless your life. You choose by your giving. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says that you will be enriched so that you may give even more generously. Don't you get that? You'll be enriched so that you can give even more generously. So, you know, God looks at our heart, and as our heart gets bigger, we give more. The more you give to him, the bigger your heart expands. Number three, we are to give remembering our eternal reward. You know, Luke chapter 16, verse 9 says, use worldly wealth to benefit others. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. You know, everything I hold on to in this life, I'm going to lose the moment that I die. Anything I refuse to let go of, I'm going to lose at the end of this life. But anything I place in God's hands, I will enjoy for eternity. Some pastor put it this way, do your giving while you're living so you know where it's going. You know, you can't take it with you, but you certainly can send it on ahead. Here's the last thing that I want you to remember as you are giving generously to the Lord, that God will meet all of my needs. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all the grace abound, so that all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, my giving is very important to God. It is proof of my faith. It is praise to him. And as I am praising him, others are blessed by this praise. In Malachi 3, we're told to bring that whole tithe into the storehouse We're told actually to test God in this matter and see if God will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such blessings in your life that you'll not have enough room for them. You see, so many times we want to test God. And the only time I can find in Scripture that we're to test God is in this matter of giving. We're also told in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that we should remember the generosity of Jesus Christ. You see, as I give generously, I am becoming more like Christ. Well, I want to encourage you today to realize that God will take care of your needs as you put Him first. As one man told me, you can never outgive God. Thanks for listening today. God bless you.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.